probably Saturday as planned.
Pending anything that happens tomorrow, I think we're flying out tomorrow on the plane, or when we get there, the plan is to play.
Okay, we know you're not an expert on quarterbacks.
Thank you. That's what I always say, but you still ask.
Are you surprised the way this has turned out?
I guess I don't think about it a lot until I'm asked about it, usually out here. But certainly I think the improvement that Deshaun has made throughout camp has been impressive. I wouldn't say surprising, because he struck me as a really bright kid as soon as he walked in the building when he was on his draft visit. And you can see the work that he's been doing has really led to some drastic improvement. So I wouldn't say surprised, but definitely, you know, pleasantly pleased maybe to see a rookie taking on the challenge of being the starting quarterback and doing the things he needs to earn the coach's trust to be able to throw him out there in the third preseason game.
Now, you had expressed concern about a rookie starting and the uphill climb and how challenging it is. Mm-hmm. Is this a case where you just kind of put your trust in your coach?
Well, starting as a rookie in the NFL at any position is very challenging. The difference in speed and quickness and scheme from college is vast. But when you talk about a quarterback, that's even more difficult because of the complexity of the position. So it's definitely the most difficult position to start as a quarterback when you're a rookie. But with that being said, we've got the right man for the job. You know, you look at what Hugh Jackson has done with young and rookie quarterbacks in his career. He's just a man to do it. I mean, what he did with Flacco in his rookie year, and I think Andy Dalton is his second year, is really impressive. And so if ever there was a great team of rookie quarterback and coach, it'd be Deshaun and Hugh. I think Deshaun really embodies what a professional is. Even as a rookie, he understands how to work, how to study the game. He understands the commitment it takes to be a starting quarterback. So if ever there was a great combination for a rookie quarterback and coach, it'd be Hugh and Deshaun.
Joe, you've obviously seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks. Without naming names, have you been out here with rookie quarterbacks before where you just thought to yourself, this guy doesn't get it, or he's just not getting it right now?
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, there's been plenty of times, I shouldn't say plenty, but at least a couple, where you have a rookie that's going to be starting and you're saying to yourself, well, I hope we run the ball a lot this week, because if we have to drop back and diagnose a defense, we're going to be in trouble.
Joe, Joel's obviously not going to play this week. He might not play the fourth preseason game. Is there any concern, you know, on paper, the offensive line looks great, improvement, all that, but is there any concern about possibly going into a season opener without having that unit take any snaps in a preseason game together?
For me, there's not a lot of concern, because Joel and I have a good rapport going back from the years that we've played together. And we did get quite a few snaps together in training camp. And also Joel got a lot of snaps with the center. So really, from my standpoint, I don't see that as an issue, because he's gotten a lot of snaps with guys on both sides of him. So that's the most important part of getting an offensive line to gel, is just playing with the guys that are next to you or the guy that's next to you. And in Joel's case, I think we do have enough reps with each other that doesn't concern me that he probably won't play this week or next week.
Now that you've got, you know, a couple preseason games on film that I'm sure you guys are dissecting, what do you think of Sean Coleman's development? How's he coming along at right tackle?
He's been doing a nice job. I'm impressed with Sean every day. I think the work that he puts in, the commitment that he has, and the improvement that he makes every day really speaks to his level of professionalism. I think as a pro, he makes sure that every day he gets a little bit better. And I've been really proud of him. I've been working with him, and he's really taken a nice step. I mean, he came from a system in college that had basically no pro concepts, technique or scheme-wise. And so for him, it was almost like taking a high school player and putting him in a pro scheme. And he's really picked it up quickly, and I'm excited to see him out there playing.
You have long talks with Kaiser. Does Kaiser come in the O-line room and pick your brains, and do you guys have group discussions, or how does that work?
Yeah, I would say that generally speaking, we do have some nice discussions with Deshaun. Specifically, the center has the most conversations with the quarterback, with Deshaun, because Those are the guys that are making the calls, that are directing the protections, that are getting the snap counts on the same page. So they're the ones that do the secretive meetings, the two of them, more than anybody else.
Joe, have you had years in the past? I mean, obviously you've
been. Hey, Tom, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. 1 year. I know you were kind of asked this earlier about the concern of having not played together this group. Have you had this in the years past, even preseasons, where you guys, the first, what would have been considered the first unit, did not play a snap during
the preseason games?
Yeah.
It happens every year. I mean, I can't remember a year where, I'm trying to think, where a line was intact for every game in the preseason, because injuries just happen. That's just the way it is. Even my rookie year, I think, I played next to Lenny Friedman, I think, all my snaps in the preseason, and then Eric Steinbach was the starter. So, hey, if I could do it, I'm pretty low on the intelligence totem pole. If I could handle that as a rookie, these guys will have no problem.
Yeah, so you feel like it's a non-issue?
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it.
Lenny Friedman.
There's a blast from the past.
It's a long list.
A lot of left guards, too, in addition to quarterbacks.
Is it any easier or harder to block quarterbacks out of the shotgun as opposed to lining up under center? Does it change what you guys do at all?
It does change what we do schematically slightly. For instance, to get into detail, if the linebackers are mugged, was what we call a linebacker that's in the line of scrimmage, kind of creeped up. He's closer to the quarterback, obviously, when he's under center. So, therefore, you can't let a running back block them a lot of times. Whereas when the quarterback's in the shotgun, a lot of times you can leave the running backs to block those guys if it's called for it in the protection. So, when you're in the shotgun, there's less adjustment that has to be made when you get linebackers that are walking up. But other than that, it's kind of the same, because a quarterback's going to adjust his drop typically based on if he's in the gun or under center anyway. So he should be in the same spot. Now, not all quarterbacks are disciplined enough to be where they're supposed to be all the time. So sometimes if they're in the gun, like tall quarterbacks tend to get deeper, and some of the details have to be a little bit different. But I would say overall it's pretty similar.
Some conversation about, you know, what you said, so he had an understanding of what you meant when you said, hey, mm-hmm. you know what, mm-hmm. a veteran should be ready before a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you
mm-hmm.
guys talk about that?
You know, we didn't talk about it. I think he may or may not even know what I said. And I think everybody in the locker room understands, as players, we oftentimes get asked questions where we don't really have, like, a great answer. But, you know, you try to answer as best you can. And in that case, I was just telling Tony, everyone always asks me about quarterback, and I always say, I don't really know anything about quarterback. And I proved it in this case. So I'm sure he'll get a laugh out of that, maybe.
Well, he said that when we asked him about it a few days later, he said that if you said it, it must be pretty accurate.
I think at camp is always a fluid situation where you've got guys – you know, coming in and out based on injury and performance and what the coaches want to see. And so trying to handicap and predict stuff is, you know, it's fun for fans and people outside of the building, but it's really difficult because you really don't know how guys are going to perform, how guys are going to improve, who's going to play, who's going to get injured. And, you know, sometimes you try to give your best guess, but obviously it's not always right.
In that E60 piece, they edited it down to like 60 seconds.
Uh-huh.
You were able to rattle off the 18 guys in 60 seconds. But
yeah.
In reality, how long did it take you to come up with all 18?
Yeah. Well, I will say that I think I got the first maybe 12 or 13 pretty quickly. And then you just kind of get brain lock and you're trying to think back. And I told them I can remember the guys at the beginning of my career, at the end of my career, but like in the middle, it's really gray. And so it took me probably 2 or 3 minutes to get them all put together by the end, and I was happy I did. But it did take a little bit longer. They didn't have enough time in that short segment with me.
What did you think about it?
I think it turned out pretty good. I was pretty happy. You never know what something like that's going to look like. But for me, the real exciting thing was seeing some clips from my childhood that I had never seen or at least don't remember playing hoops or running around as a kid. So that was kind of cool because when they do the E60, they really dig into your past and they talk to a lot of people that have footage and memories of you when you were a kid that you don't even remember or didn't even know existed. So it's fun, kind of a blast from the past.
You guys go to the hall often, they lobby for a former team. Are you going to like lobby E60, do one on Greco now?
I'd love to see an E60 on Greco, you know. I'll leave it at that. Oh, there he is. Hey, man. Slats would be his, you know, announcer when he makes the Hall of Fame.
Joe, Deshaun also yesterday when, after he learned that he was going to be getting a start in his scan at least, he said he has a lot to show you. And then he said he knows that you've seen a lot of quarterbacks. His ultimate goal is that you don't have to see anymore
mm-hmm.
after him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's exciting to hear him say that. I think I've seen nothing but positives from Deshaun, and it's exciting to play with somebody that has that much passion for the game, but also this team. You know, he's an Ohio kid, and I think he understands what's happened here, and he understands where he wants to take this team. And you see the physical skills, obviously, and it's fun watching him improve in the way he grows from practice to practice, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like once he's out there with the ones, getting those game reps and the improvement he'll make when now that Hugh's kind of zeroing in on him as potentially the starter for the season. Hugh is such a great quarterback's coach. He's a quarterback guru, and as you guys know, there's only one of Hugh, so he's going to spend his most time with the guy he anticipates to start. And so now that he's kind of named Deshaun that guy, I think you're going to see Deshaun's growth even exponentially increase.
Pretty good. So can you name all the left tackle, left guards you played?
I got to have lunch, guys, here. No, I'll try. Lenny Friedman, Seth McKinney, Eric Steinbach, Floyd Womack, John Greco, Joel Batonio. See, it's the middle years that are tough. How many is there? I think I'm at 7. How about you name them? That's all I can think of for now.
Pinkston.
Oh, Pinkston. There's a good one. Pinkston. Pinkston. Yeah, right. See? You don't know. Is it football? Is it just being old? Pinkston. That's a good one.
We'll do some research.
Sean LaVau. I think he may have, like, in a pinch, moved over there. Oh, yeah, Ryan Miller in a game. Well, he didn't start. It was like a – oh, Garrett Gilkey. These are guys – I don't know if they started, though, or they just came in due to injury.
Hmm. Vincent Painter could have been a hell of a trivia question, and he actually got it on the field.
Right? He did. He was on the field. He got any snaps. Yeah. So –
Were you disappointed that you lost the offensive lineman swimming challenge?
I was. I honestly thought I was a good swimmer. And then I got smoked, so that was humbling. In my mind, I could have beat Phelps. I could have beat the shark. But couldn't even beat Spencer Durango, so humbled very quickly. But it was really fun.
He's qualified for the 20 Olympics.
Who, Spencer or the shark?
Do you at least feel sorry for what you did to Cam, though?
Well, the funny thing is the guys, I thought I was a good swimmer. But the funny thing is the other guys that got really smoked that thought they were good swimmers, like Fabiano and Cam, they were like betting on themselves, like significant $20. And they were sure they were going to win. So I think I spent too much energy beating Cam in the first round that I didn't have anything left to beat Spence in the second round. So if anything, it's my own fault for going as hard as I did because I was breathing to my left side and I couldn't see him. So... But that's neither here nor there.
By the time you finish, you had time to towel off and take.
I know. He really struggled in that race, and after I saw him swim, I was like, I don't know how you thought you could have beat anybody. You were just struggling to stay alive. It looked like he was treading water, but it was fun. It was kind of fun doing that.